Morning City Church. This is Phil Edwards, hoping to bring you a moment of sanity at the start of your day, a moment of truth from God's Word, a moment of grace. I always assumed that I was safe from being a Bible-quoting Pharisee because I have a bad memory. Quoting Bible verses or really any sort of church nerdery wasn't a risk for me, not just because of my impiety, but because I'm terrible at remembering lyrics and quotes. Garden variety sinner? Yeah, sure. Pharisee, not as much. I'm pretty chill. Reading today's passage at Jesus' instruction showed me how I'm wrong. The readings today include Psalm 102. While I'm tempted to talk for a third time about this honestly awesome psalm on the podcast, Jesus gives clearer instruction in the gospel reading. In the reading from Matthew, he is eating with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees say, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus replies, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Go and learn what this means. Okay, instruction received. Googling commenced. Quickly, you get into these weird Reddit discussions, but most people agree that Jesus is quoting Hosea 6:6, in which God says, "I desire steadfast love or mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." He wants love, faithfulness, not symbols and sacrifices. In some ways, I am not like the Pharisees. I don't offer Bible quotes or animal sacrifices. I don't keep arcane rules. And sometimes I don't keep some of the famous ones. Except I am like the Pharisees. Not just that I'm a sinner, but in a specific way that matches with this story. Let me tell you how I provide sacrifice instead of mercy, how I use rules instead of loving Jesus. I have never had the narratively interesting arc of not believing in God before coming to belief. I don't know why, but I have always believed. I remember always being a Christian. It has always been a stubborn part of me that I couldn't get rid of. But I have worked hard throughout my life to file that fact away in a place where it couldn't really affect my life, where it couldn't get in the way of my business. Imagine a computer desktop with a bunch of folders on it, neatly arranged. Now imagine there's one read-only file that I cannot drag into the trash. It says something like, "God is real," and it says, "Jesus died to save me," and it says, "Jesus loves me." How do you get rid of that if you can't drag it into the trash? The Pharisees might surround it with quotes and rituals, burnt offerings so you couldn't see the truth through the smoke. But I'm too lazy to commit things to memory. Instead, I drag that message from God to a folder labeled My Brain, and I lock it down. It could sit there for a very long time and not screw anything up. That was how I approached my faith for most of my young adulthood, a strange document that made my intellect more intriguing. And that is often how I still approach it now. I think a lot of you who I talk to have been enmeshed in these Christian contexts for a while, in high school, in college, etc. I have not. To me, I hear talk of Young Life and RUF, etc. And it's kind of like when I hear people talking about an episode of The Amazing Race. I have no problem with The Amazing Race. Maybe I would have liked The Amazing Race when it was on, but I don't really know anything about The Amazing Race. It's foreign to me. Instead, I spent early adulthood surrounded by agnostic or atheist friends, coworkers, and subcultures. They were antagonistic to Jesus most of the time. I still travel in those circles now. I don't think that's bad, but I've done it in a way that allowed me to keep my document in its folder, hidden away. I could take pleasure in this little secret about myself that made me special, different from all my intelligent friends. See, I have a brain like all of you, but I also have this secret thing you don't know about, and I never let it out of the folder. I take pleasure in keeping God in that folder of my brain. Listen, this will be pretentious, but I'm trying to be real with you. I enjoyed reasoning in a philosophical bent about why God was the only logical answer to the problem of living. I liked thinking, Hey, look at me, I'm so quirky. I like Derrida and C.S. Lewis. I marveled at the harmony between the advanced physics that I skimmed and the possible methods of God. I luxuriated in how special and unique my brain was with God as this decoration. And so the document stayed in that folder. I couldn't delete it. I even saw its presence as a bit of a gift to God. Isn't it incredible that I am giving you the folder space here? This is precious stuff. You should honestly be kind of grateful that someone like me would even let you into this folder. I gave sacrifice for sure, but not mercy. This is the type of Pharisee I am. I'm not sanctimonious or haughty about my faith. I'm certainly not legalistic, but I do everything to drag Jesus into that single folder, the folder for intellectual curios that make me more special. If the message is in that folder, it cannot affect the other folders on the desktop. It can't sneak into my friendships, my relationships, my money, my work, my time, or my eventual death. Jesus wants mercy. I sacrifice folder space. The thing is, over time, I have had my desktop flooded with more and more copies of that message. Jesus loves me. I still stubbornly try to drag it into that one folder, but when I pray and I read and I go to church and do all these things, it starts to be impossible to drag every single copy in quickly enough. It doesn't want to be contained. The desktop becomes messy and cluttered with that message. I don't know many Bible verses, but I can say with confidence that Jesus hates organization, or at least our organization. Jesus is pushing me to give mercy instead of sacrifice. When I was Googling around on this passage, I saw a nice anecdote about how a woman might do yard work for an elderly neighbor. But if she did it in a rote fashion, it could kind of turn into just a sacrifice. Mercy would include loving the neighbor, forming a relationship with her, having a cup of coffee with her, asking how she was doing. I don't know why, but reading that little example of an imaginary woman visiting another imaginary woman basically made me cry. When we were singing the last psalm in church the other day, I started to think about my living dad being reunited with his long, long dead dad someday, and the hope that they would both be fixed and loved by Jesus. Or another week, you know, I thought about my late grandmother-in-law, whose body broke, being able to do gymnastics like she did when she was a girl, like my 5-year-old son does now on the monkey bars at preschool. Those thoughts don't make me feel very cool or smart. It brings me near tears again, tears I only hold back out of pride. That's not in the same folder as my beloved brain. I'm still a Pharisee. I'm writing this less as communion with those of you in the church body and more because writing is the only way that I know how to think. I am still organizing files, but I feel comfortable sharing this because I am certain that we are all not just sinners, but all Pharisees in the narrow way described in the story. We are using our minds, our rules, our rituals to shut out mercy in favor of sacrifice. I know it because that is why Jesus shares it with all of us. But that is not the end of his message. We are not shut out, despite who we are. He says, "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." That is a call I know I am qualified to answer. Stay well and do good.
Good Morning City Church is a weekday podcast produced by the staff and members of City Church of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about us, please visit citychurchrva.com. That's citychurchrva.com. And thanks for listening.